Hope I don't drop this. All right. Well, welcome everybody. Glad you could be here tonight and our last night of evangelism training. And we've been going through what we call the gospel equation for these 4 weeks in January. And tonight we're going to finish up and we're going to go through and do one last run through the gospel and what the gospel really is and how to give it. And then we're going to switch roles and we're going to let you all go through and pair up with somebody and try to give the gospel yourselves, like we've been doing, like role playing at the end of each night if you've been here. So we're going to allow you guys to, we've got some little, and we'll explain it more, but we've got some little New Testaments and some little cheat sheets, little laminated cards, and we'll let you do that. But so let's get into it, and it's already 7 o'clock, so I'm going to try to get through this real quick and then give you guys some time to go through it too. So, and then Chris Cohen is going to come up and give a testimony. He had something really great happen this week. And it's all part of what we've been talking about and what we've been doing. And the Lord just kind of dropped it in his lap. So anyway, he wants to share that and I'm excited to hear it. So, the gospel equation, we're going to see tonight that it is, yes, I see, does everybody have a handout? That Richard's got some extra ones right there. And if we run out, there are some out on the stand, out in the foyer. So the gospel equation is powered by the seed, as you see. Powered by the seed. And we're going to look at what that really means, because it is the seed, which is the incorruptible word of God, that has all the power to change people's hearts and minds and to save them, right? We really don't have the power, do we? So we're going to look at that tonight, and as far as entering into this gospel equation, we're going to talk about it like we did in the beginning with 1 Peter 3:15, where it says to us what we need to do. First of all, the first thing we need to do, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and then it says, be ready always to give an answer, be prepared, be ready. That's what we're doing now. To give an answer, right? We're going to give an answer to him that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, two things I want to point out in that. We point out something different each night, how this is broken down like an equation that gives us prompts to what we need to do. And the first thing is the word answer. And that word is where we get the word apologetics, which simply means it's a term for sharing the gospel. Apologetics. Because that word answer, the Greek word for that, and you've got it in your handout notes, is apologio. And it just simply means to testify or give a verbal defense why you believe the gospel. So we need to be ready always to give that defense, right? Because just like Jesus is our defense attorney in heaven before the Father, and we're on trial, as it were, to give an answer for what we believe. We can trust in ourselves or we can trust in him. And that's really all it is. There are only two religions, they say, right? There's do and there's done, right? We either do the things we think are going to please God and we work, it's called works-based, or we believe in the finished work of Christ. And that's already been done. When he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. So the first thing is answer, and then the second thing is reason. And I really like this because that word reason is, the Greek word for that is logos, all right? And I don't know if you've heard of logos for the word that was created around the time of Christ. It's a Greek word that means a divine communication. It's God's direct communication for us, and it's called the Logos. Do you know Jesus Christ himself is called the Logos of God? He's the Word of God. And in John, he tells us that he is God in the flesh, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the same Word that spoke and all of creation leapt into existence, right? So we need to be able to give a reasonable defense that comes directly from God's Word. Because really, God's Word is really the only thing that people, that does, has the power to change people's lives. It's the only power that really people can be saved by. It's not our words. It's the Word of God. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you so much that we do have a church in this day and age that we live in. And it seems like, people are comfortable. They're complacent. They're not sharing the gospel. And just like the kids that were up here singing, we need to praise you. You created us to glorify you. And that's the main way you created us to glorify you, is to reproduce, to multiply, as we talk about this equation, and multiply other sons of God with the gospel, the good news of the Logos. Lord, so teach us from your word tonight. Take me out of the way and you replace me and speak what you want to speak to us in the little bit of time that we have, and then help us to learn how to share Jesus truly without fear. And by that, I mean totally depending and trusting in you for the outcome. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. So in Mark 4:14, it says, "And the sower soweth the word," right? The sower. He soweth the word, rather than we think of, you know, sowing the seed. But Jesus tells us right here, the seed is the word. And what he is talking about, we see that Peter explained to us in 1 Peter 1:23, is this incorruptible seed, right? This incorruptible seed that lives forever, that lives within us, that we can share with other believers and reproduce Christ and his image in them. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." It's the life-giving force which saved us and saves others. We have that within us. And we have the living word in our own hands, in our Bible. And that's the amazing thing. It's the word, God's seed, that gets into men's hearts, or the soil we're going to be talking about tonight, that really changes. It's the seed of God's word alone that has the power to bring souls to eternal life. And it's God's powerful seed that comes to life in us when we die and learn to obey the gospel's call for us to go to the world and share that with others, right? And this year we're preparing because the world is going to come to us. It's like a reverse great commission, right? Rather than us going to the world, the world's coming to us. Isn't that amazing? So it's like Jesus is that seed. He's the prototype of the seed that we're called to go and sow to the whole world. And what a privilege, I think, in these last days, not only to be able to share the gospel, but God's going to help us to accomplish the Great Commission by bringing the world to us. So check this out. In John 12, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said this right before he went to the cross. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat," that corn, that's like a kernel. It's a seed, right? It's a seed of wheat. He said, "Except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, right? It abides by itself. And none of us were made to be alone, right? God came, He came to die and die on a cross for you and me so that we wouldn't be alone, so that He could live inside us in the soil or the home of our heart. And He goes on to say, but if it die, right, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's a promise. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. And then he goes on to say, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. You know, and I look forward to that day, you know, where it says in the Bible that he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the glory of my rest. Enter into my rest that the Father says for us who have served him and followed him and taken the gospel to the world. So I want to look at four types of soil. Now on your note, I want you to recognize the next bullet point. I was going to show this. It's so cool because of that verse about a kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. I pulled it up on YouTube. I've seen this once before with a little video, time-lapse imaging, and it shows a kernel of wheat, you know, being planted in the ground, and they've got a camera right there, and I think it's on the side of a cup, and it shows how the roots go down. It dies. Okay, check this out. Actually, what happens, the seed goes into the ground and it absorbs water, okay? It just keeps drinking in water and it begins to die. And you can watch this thing decay over 3 days, okay? 3 days. And after that, you know what happens? It comes to life. The roots sprout out and go down, and the stalk sprouts up, goes up, right? And it works its way to the soil, works its way to the sunlight, and it makes its way out. And then it gets to a position to where the roots can draw in the moisture and the nutrients needed of the soil. And the stalk can draw from the sunlight in order that it can reproduce. And it makes a head kind of like a bulb with kernels or thousands of seed in the top of it. I don't know. I think they call it the flower. You know, it's really the pod of the stalk of wheat, and it's got thousands of seeds in it. That's the illustration that God draws from His creation for you and I. That's what Jesus was talking about. But it first has to get into the soil, right? That's the problem. We're called to sow the seed, but we want to look at the four different types of soil of the heart. Because the first type of soil of heart that we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, is more of a selfish type soil. And we know this is natural for people. We're born into sin. We're born selfish, right? People we witness to every day of our life, without plowing that soil and developing natural inroads through personal relationship. That's what these people are. People, maybe they haven't heard the gospel, or maybe they just haven't had it explained to them. They don't know enough about it so that they really don't, they're not interested because they don't know enough, right? And it says in Mark 4:15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh and immediately goes in your blank, right? Check this out. It says, Satan cometh immediately, and he taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know why it says that immediately? We're going to see it says that three other times. It's telling us that spiritual warfare has taken place, right? Because Satan wants nothing more than to corrupt the incorruptible seed and its inroad into our hearts, or its inroads into any other person's heart, right? He wants to stop that. This is a spiritual satanic attack, right? You know, and we're in a warfare, right? So what does the enemy do? You know, he punches him in the mouth immediately. That's what he wants to do to distract people from accepting and receiving the gospel. And he wants to do it immediately. And we're going to see he does this three other times. So these are people we witness to every day in our life without any real connection. These are people whose hearts are distracted and they can't see the value of coming to Christ or committing their life to Christ. These are people, and you probably experienced it, where they want a rabbit trail. You ever experienced those people that they want to go down this trail? They want to talk about this, or what do you think about this? Or, oh, I got a question for you, and it may be from the Bible, or what's going on? But it takes you away from the gospel. That's what these people are. That's the soil that I'm talking about here, number one. The second soil, it says, that falls on is stony. So it's stony. What do you think? It's hard, right? It may be prideful, right? Which most of these first three, I think, all of our hearts are prideful in the beginning. But this one is exceptionally prideful. It's not conducive, this soil, to any lasting relationship, maybe with us or with God. Mark 4:16 describes this when he says, "And these are they which likewise, which is sown on stony ground, who when they have heard, immediately," that goes in your second blank again, "immediately receive it with gladness." But when you hear immediately, what's going on? Spiritual warfare, right? It doesn't sound right, right? Immediately they receive it with gladness, okay? But hold on a second. You see, their soil is open to conversation, but it's resistant to any real commitment or change, as we're going to see in this next verse. There may be natural born people pleasers, but not knowing how to be a God pleaser. They will talk with you and they may even pray with you, and yet their mind is blinded to the gospel. The soil of their heart also matches people like we talked about last week. Maybe they romanticize the idea of following Jesus. Maybe they wish that they could. But they don't have any real faith or commitment to become a true follower. And then he follows up in verse 17 and says, "And they have no root in themselves," right? Every seed has to have roots, right? We're likened to trees. We're likened to fruit trees, right? We have to have roots. We're going to see that. But it says they have no roots, and so they endure for a time, but afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately, there it is again, here comes the spiritual warfare. They are offended, right? They're offended, right? The key point for this, this is how Satan attacks this type of soil. That quick believers and people pleasers become quick leavers. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. But sometimes people will receive the gospel, but they're not intentional about it. They're not committed to it. And we need to plow the soil by continuing the conversation. Make sure you take that person and arm in arm, bring him to church. Talk to him about the Bible. Continue the conversation. Make the inroads in that relationship, okay? Creating a trusting friendship that will ultimately bring it to fruition, which is fruit and trust in Jesus Christ. So we all need our roots deeply grounded in the love of Christ, okay? That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And that's what every person needs as a believer. Ephesians 3:17 through 20 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, right? It's not about information, it's about transformation, right? And it's only God's love that can transform our hearts or any heart, right? He goes on to say, now unto them that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And you see, it's that power of the seed, the gospel, the word of God that does all the work. It's not of us. It's nothing of us. Just like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, when we get saved, it's of grace. It's not of ourselves. Why? Lest we should boast, right? We'd become prideful about it. Chris is going to give a testimony here in a second, and it just shows that, how it's just about taking not information, but the love of Christ is what people are really looking for. It's what all of us are looking for, right? So the third type of soil is this thorny or lustful soil. It's overly influenced by trusting in the flesh instead of learning to trust in God. In Mark 4:18 and 19, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Okay, these are they that care more for about the world and the flesh and their lustful desires than they do about change and transformation, right? Some of these say they're carnal Christians that never grow and lead others to Christ. But I kind of doubt that, you know. Jesus said himself that if any tree does not bring forth fruit, he's cut down and cast into the fire in Matthew 7:19. And also, if we abideth in him, he promises us that we will bring forth much fruit, John 15:5, because he says, without him, we can do nothing. We can't do it on ourselves, on our own. It's the word of God that has the power. So I say here, we need to beware of the sin of silence. You know, we need to share the gospel. If God made us for one thing, the one thing only, the most important thing to glorify him is to share the gospel with other people. It's to be fruitful and multiply, just like Adam, right? And then finally, this fourth soil, and we'll move on to the second part of tonight. And you guys can share, and Chris can share, that this type of soil is what we're all headed towards, okay? This is the type that Chris is going to talk about that he met up with the other last week. It's the soil of a fruitful heart that comes to fruition and becomes a Christian, right? And these are they which are sown on good ground, Mark 4:20. They're sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, our fruit can be multiplied. It can be measurable if it's sown on good ground. So we need to be like fruit in our soil. Brian, what do you call them, soil inspectors? We need to be soil inspectors, right? We need to look. We need to always be going and sowing, right? But we also need to know what kind of ground it is. When we see fruitful ground it's good. It's already had the word of God, the seed sown in it. Then we need to jump on it, and we need to follow up, and we need to be ready to sow and to continue the conversation. You see, because the ground has already been cultivated by God and others. Now we have an open door of opportunity to plant the seed of God's word by building a trusting relationship centered around the truthful principles and promises found in his word. So, simply put, I'm going to end with this. Our responsibility is simply to go and sow the seed. God saves the soul, right? God's responsibility, which he promises if we'll simply go in obedience, is to match us in like faith, right? He adds faith to our faith. He actually multiplies it. You know, Brian started us off this year with our verse for this year, which is Psalm 126. Our vision for 2026 is Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. And it says this. It shows us what our responsibility is and what God's responsibility that he promises to do is. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, right? We're called to sow the seed, right? But here it says sow in tears. We need to add compassion to that, right? We need to truly care. One of our principles in IGO is people don't care what you know until they know that you care. You know, and like we said earlier, they're saved when they get rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And when they see that in us, they want to ask the reason of the hope that is in us, right? So they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's a promise from God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, this goes in your blank, doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Right? What's the opposite of doubtless? What? What's the opposite of doubtless? No, the opposite. The opposite of doubt is faith. So the opposite of doubtless would be faithful, right? And God is always faithful. He promises that we'll come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him, right? I like this. This is put a different way by Paul. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Increase goes in your blank, right? God's the one that does it. We're on the same team, right? Paul and Apollos are on the team. God's not on the team. He's the source of the power. Oh, the power of the seed of God's word. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase, right? It's God that does the work. It's God's power. We just simply need to be obedient to go and sow. So now that we know, we simply need to go and sow and leave the growing to God, right? So, on your notes, I included a mirror image because it goes through the same soils, but it puts an image on our heart because we're to reflect the image of Christ. And he talks about the soil of our heart that's conducive to going and sowing and growing. So you can read through that on your own. But right now, I want to ask Chris to come up and give us a little bit let us understand what he went through this last week when he was able to share the gospel with the gentleman at work.
Good evening. Sorry about that. It's our daughter over there. I shared this with Pat, and he asked me to share a little bit of this testimony. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity, and I talked about how, you know, we took those seven factors and we applied them to the gospel equation out of Acts chapter 8. Well, you know, what good is that if I come up here and I talk about that, but I don't actually practice what I preach, you know? So I've been truly praying about this year about being diligent of sharing the gospel. And I got a lot of people at work and a lot of guys at work that I work with that I've just been methodically praying like for opportunities to share the gospel and make it real. And so there's a guy, he's been working there about a year and a half, and believe it or not, his name is Cody Crawford. Not the same Cody Crawford, obviously. But so think about this. He's been working there a year and a half, and it took that long for this for me to finally step through that door, because there's been plenty of times where I've had an opportunity to talk to him, but I haven't shared the gospel with him up until this point. So that Friday, we worked that weekend, and I had an opportunity because he was training on my line. It's like I'm with him all weekend for 12 hours, 3 days in a row. I'm like, this is perfect. So I lay out the gospel, and, you know, he believes in God. He's like, yeah, there's got to be something out there. I believe in God. I kind of grew up in the church, and, you know, he's a military guy. He was in the Army. And so I'm like, okay, you know, we have multiple great conversations through the weekend, and, you know, he's just not quite ready yet, and that's okay. You know, I just keep praying for him. And so the following week, you know, we worked for last week on Wednesday and Thursday then. And I said, how about this? You know, would you be willing to meet with me, go get some coffee after work, and we could sit down. We can actually open up the Word of God, take a little bit of time, not be distracted from everything from work. And I can show you in the Bible everything that we've talked about, how true it is. And that I'm not just making this stuff up, that this is the Word of God. This is what's real. And he's like, yes, I would really like that. He's genuine. He's really excited about it. So we go to Brick House Coffee, and we get some coffee, we sit down, we do a little Bible study through John chapter 1, and he gets to see who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Word of God, and that that he was the in the beginning he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And then you got to see that the Word dwelled among us, and the Word become flesh, and it was just, everything just was perfect, and it was amazing. And by the end of that conversation, he was so ready to get saved. It was just unbelievable. So he said the most genuine prayer. You know, like, I really try to make it a point to not have people repeat a prayer after me, because sometimes people can just say a prayer and, you know, it's not actually real. And so I gave him the main points. Like, this is the things that you need to confess, and that you need to, mainly the point is that you got to believe it in your heart. And it was such a genuine prayer, and he's been so excited. I was really praying that he's going to be here tonight, but we could be praying for him and for his wife, because now he's wanting to take the gospel now to his wife and make sure that his wife is saved. And you know, he told me that, you know, she believes in God just like he does, but he's trying to find that way now to make sure he can present it so that she can get saved. So we could be praying for him and his wife. His wife's name is Jillian. So, but I do want to just share a couple quick verses that really ties all this in. Of we're sharing the gospel without fear. And God put this passage on my heart a few years ago, and he's really just kind of brought this back to my remembrance, because we have that fear that's inside of us, is like there's something holding us back. And like I said, it was a year and a half before I shared the gospel with this guy. What if he would have died and I never shared it with him, you know? Shame on me. And so shame on all of us if we don't share the gospel, just like I talked about. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so this passage, just really, God put it back on my heart. In Proverbs chapter 3, out of the Old Testament, I know, right? Who would have thought that the gospel is all throughout the Bible, not just the New Testament? So Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 25 through 28, it says this. It says in 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, right? Because that's what happens. We have a sudden fear that comes over us when we try to share. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. In verse 26, it says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. I like to call that my Godfidence, right? The Lord shall be thy confidence, and he shall keep thy foot from being taken, right? He's not going to let you fall in this. He's going to make sure that he gives you everything that you need. And then this is the really cool part in verse 27. I want you to see this. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And, you know, we think about that verse, probably we say, you know, don't hold back. Like, if you have wealth and money and you can donate to the poor and things like that, those are all great things. But what is the most good thing that we possess? It's the gospel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. That is the good that we should not withhold from people. And then check this out. This is an amazing thing. That word power, it says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That word power is the same word translated, EL. It's the same word translated as God. So, Pat, you just talked about the power, and the power is God, and he's in our hand. We have the word of God. And then in verse 28, it says, say not unto your thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it, when thou hast it by thee. If you're born again today and you're saved today, you have the gospel with you. Don't tell that lost person, your neighbor, I'll just share with it tomorrow, with them tomorrow. Don't pass up that opportunity to share the gospel, because people are hungry for the word of the Lord. They don't know it, but they want to be saved. And so I just was thankful for that opportunity, and I'm going to be working with Cody and at work, and I'm going to keep encouraging him. Hopefully he can get here on a Sunday morning. He can get connected. And so with that, I think we'll give it back to Pat. He's got a few instructions for us, and we're going to practice this here a little bit, and everybody have an opportunity to share the gospel with each other. And it's a little bit different role playing, I know, but you can kind of get a feel of it. So Pat will have some instructions for us.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Man, that was awesome. You know, there's nothing greater than to be able to share the gospel with others. And like Paul talks about, that fellowship of the gospel. Because we really, when we share the gospel, there's a certain amount, or if not a great amount, of sacrifice that has to go on in our own heart, right? We have to die to self in order to do that, you know. But one of the things that I was thinking about with timing and all, Brian, I'll revert to you and ask you, because I really, you know, in order to do this, I want everybody to have a chance to be able to share this. But I think it might be best if we try to do it. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a meeting after church anyway. And we have what we do is intentional gospel outreach. But a lot of times we break up and do things like this. And maybe that might be the time to be able to spend a little bit of time for anybody that wants to do that, rather than, you know, try to rush that in like 5 minutes or something. What do you think? Yeah. So that might be better. And maybe, you know, Chris, put you on the spot here. Maybe just real quick, we might just explain as we go through it, or I might just explain through it. You know, this, we've got, it's called Sharing Jesus Without Fear, is what this is called, the manual anyway. And these, by the way, these are for sale out in the foyer, in the cabinet out there. And so you can pick those up on Sundays. It's by William Fay and Ralph Hodge. That is called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And the reason why I like this is because this is just such a simple way of sharing the gospel. And it takes away that fear. You know, Chris was talking about fear that comes up. And I was talking about, you know, that immediately. What happens when that spiritual warfare of that urgency, that's really what's happening. There is an urgency that we need to get that gospel to that person, because they may not have another day. But at the same time, you know, it's like Satan pops them in the mouth, and they, you know, these fears start coming up in their hearts and in their minds, you know, thinking, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm ready to change everything. And one of the biggest things is people think, and I know you may have been there like I was, I can't do that. I can't possibly live like that. And it's true. The Christian life is impossible. It's a big ask what we're asking people, right? But the thing is, what we found out is you don't have to do it alone, right? God, Jesus is right there walking us through it, whether it's getting saved for the first time or whether it's just simply sharing the seed of the word with somebody and breaking it down for them. This is just a real simple way, you know, and it asks those five questions and it starts with, do you have any spiritual beliefs, you know? And you just listen to them. You don't interject. You just listen effectively. And to you, who is Jesus? That makes it personal and it narrows it down and it gets you immediately into a gospel conversation because it's centered around Jesus and who you personally think it is. And then you can shift back and say, do you believe in heaven and hell? That gets you thinking of the afterlife. These are really four basic questions that we all have. That's what this is taken from. And then if you died right now, where would you go? You know, you'll get a whole variety of answers. But then you finally get to a stopping point or a jumping off point where you say, if what you believe were not true, would you want to know? You know, would you want to know? And if they'd be like, I've had people say, I don't think I would. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, just start to walk away. And they'd be like, aren't you going to tell me? You know? Or turn back and say, you know what? You really wouldn't want to know. You got heaven, hell. You got eternity in the balance. Eternity's a long time to be wrong, bro. You know? You just make it serious. And you know, if somebody, if they're just, you know, mindless or they could care less, then you probably wouldn't even get to that point. But they're probably going to say, okay, tell me. Yeah, sure, I'd want to know. And then you directly go to the Word and you let the Word do its work. What do you think about that verse? And they're all lined out in these little New Testaments. It tells you step by step, just like the little laminated cheat sheet does, and you go through the same thing, and it takes you through seven verses. You let them read them, and you let them tell you what you think, and then you finally roll into these last five questions. Are you a sinner? It makes it personal. It hones it down. You put them in the funnel. Are you a sinner? Do you want forgiveness for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you? And are you willing to surrender your life to Christ? And, you know, if they've gone that far, they're typically going to say yes. It's just really simple. And then you finally say, you ask them, we have not because we ask not. Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart today and make him your Lord and Savior? You know, and they're remembering that verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock, you know. Nine times out of ten, I mean, people really want to hear the gospel. I think the problem is we think that they don't because, I don't know, maybe our own fears, you know, make us think that. But anyway, this is just like a template. Sometimes I go different ways with it depending on the situation. Sometimes I'm in the car and I'm driving Uber and I don't have this. I have it memorized, you know, but I can't just like take a Bible out unless we're through with the trip. And a lot of times I have another trip, so I have to be fast with it. So, I mean, I have to adapt. And you can too, because this is very adaptable. But it's very simple too. So, what do you think? In a couple weeks, maybe if we announced it, we could do it after church. And if you want to do it, let me know. We'll have plenty of these and plenty of these. And you can check these out. Well, you can check this out in the foyer after church. And you can buy these too. I think there's about five out there, but Luke can order some more. So if you want to do that, does that sound doable? Because I want everybody to have the opportunity just to see how simple it is. Okay? Does that sound good? Yeah. Ask away.
Do you have those laminated tonight? Could we get those?
Yeah, I have a few extra. Yeah. Yeah, I can give you one. For sure. Chris?
Just give me a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we have those. We have some extra principles of IGO. These are great principles to base, you know, your how you view the gospel. It really helps with, you know, preparing your heart to share the gospel. So any of those things. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to ask, I guess Brian's going to come up and do the prayer list with us. So I'll pray now. Father, I thank you so much again, Lord, that you put us in such a church like this for today, for such a time like this, Lord. And I pray you've made us equipped exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think in Christ, Lord. So I just praise you for that. And I just pray that everyone would learn with confidence to overcome their fears, to see that it's very simple to just get in there and get into a simple conversation when you have this at your disposal, when you have a way to get into it. And the more that you do it, Lord, you make it to where you match it in faith, like I was talking about. And I see that you just take control because you're the one that really saves a sinner. You're the one that saves a soul. You're the one that gives us the words. You're the one that prepares their hearts and prepares our hearts, Lord. What an awesome and mighty God you are, Lord. And we want to serve you to the best of our abilities, to the best of your ability. We just want to have availability to be able to say, here I am, Lord, send me. And Lord, we pray that you would use us and do that. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.